Today on Annenberg Radio News.
I was selling drugs and ran over the gun, and so I gotta get back to the community. Mistakes I done as a teenager.
We go inside an LA program that swaps bullets for baguettes. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, March 6th, 2012. I'm Emily Frost. California is expected to give Los Angeles County $100 million to build a women's jail at the Pitches Jail Complex in Castaic. As Andrea Kowalczyk reports, activists held a protest this morning denouncing the proposed jail expansion.
Opponents of jail expansion demonstrated just steps away from where the LA County Board of Supervisors was meeting. The protesters dressed in orange shirts meant to mimic prison jumpsuits. They held signs that said no jail expansion and outlined their oppositions in speeches. The overwhelming theme was to use these funds in ways that would better the community, not for jails. Bilal Ali, co-founder of Occupy the Hood, states his wishes.
We need investments in our communities. We need investments in jobs. We need investments in quality, affordable housing. We need investments in quality health care. And we need investments and quality education for our people. We're lacking these things in our community because of misplaced policies like this that is geared to build a nation of incarceration.
The protesters also attacked Sheriff Lee Baca and his department. Baca and other high-ranking Sheriff's Department officials were recently sued by the American Civil Liberties Union for crimes against inmates. Human rights advocate Troy Isaac knows what jail is like. He spent 24 years in prison, including time at the county's old Hall of Justice.
I'm just a little upset that they want to build more jails, and Sheriff Lee Baca can't handle the jails that he has now. So we're going to have more human rights violations.
The funds in question are specifically for jail construction. Using the money for anything else would require an amendment from the state assembly. Supervisor Don Kanabi says that he understands where the protesters are coming from.
But at the end of the day, we still need jails. And we still have very significant issues, infrastructure issues, and needs for improvement, particularly the replacement of Central Jail and some of the other facilities, that we're going to have to accept the money. That's what it's for.
The California Corrections Standards Authority will announce which counties will receive the funds on Thursday. Andrea Kowalczyk, Annenberg Radio News.
The fate of a former Los Angeles Police Department detective charged with murder is now in the hands of a jury. Closing arguments wrapped up today in the trial of Stephanie Lazarus, charged with killing an ex-boyfriend's wife more than two decades ago. Jurors will now weigh the key piece of evidence in the case, a DNA match between Lazarus and saliva collected from a bite mark on the victim's arm. Lazarus faces life in prison if convicted. A group of students met outside the Cal State Los Angeles bookstore today to denounce tuition increases and budget cuts. Devin Altschul reports.
The group of students who protested at Cal State today was small, but their message was big.
Ain't no power like the power of the students, because the power of the students don't stop their work.
Ain't no power like the power of the students, because the power of the students don't stop.
Today is the 44th anniversary of the 1968 East LA High School blowouts, when 15,000 students walked out for 2 weeks demanding educational change. Some Cal State Los Angeles students are continuing that legacy with their own protests. The California State University system lost $750 million in state funding in the 2011-2012 academic year. And with more cuts being threatened, students are hurting.
We're tired of paying fees. They keep on increasing. And I even have to, like, not just me, but as other people, they have to get out loans just to pay for public education. Like, that does not make sense.
Paul Browning, a representative for CSU, supports the students, but he knows the difficulty the school faces.
And unfortunately, the CSU only has two sources of funding. One is the general budget that's been cut, and student tuition. And it's always a really difficult decision to raise student tuition.
The budget cuts have created overcrowding in classrooms and have made it harder for students to get into the core classes they need to graduate. Grace Nunez's hope to graduate on time has been shattered.
Now, 4 years is like out of the question. Like it, now it takes at least 5 years, like 5 years, 6 years to get everything and graduate on time.
With a 12% increase in tuition costs just this year, students fear that whatever it is next year, it will be too much either way. Devin Altschul, Annenberg Radio News.
Four residents of a Crenshaw District apartment building have filed a lawsuit against Jones & Jones Management Company. Residents of Woodlake Manor Apartments claim the company's rent collection policies are illegal and meant to evict low-rent residents in favor of new, higher-paying tenants. Logan Healy reports.
Tenants of properties controlled by Jones & Jones Management were notified September 1st that beginning with their December payments, they would be required to pay their rent online. Many tenants are over the age of 62 and either don't trust paying their bills online or don't own a computer. Margaret Beavers is a Woodlake Manor resident. She says she can't pay her bills online because she's computer illiterate, and she says she'll be evicted because of the new policy.
Well, I'm 86 years old. I've been paying my rent. I've lived here 49 years, and I thought I was going to have to get another pacemaker.
Bette Sedick Legal Services is representing the Woodlake Manor residents. Lawyer Patsy Van Dyke says the online-only payment policy violates LA's rent stabilization ordinance. The ordinance forbids, quote, a change in the terms of the tenancy that is not the result of an express written agreement signed by both of the parties. Van Dyke says Jones & Jones Management illegally forced the policy unilaterally on their tenants. Larry Gross, executive director of the Coalition for Economic Survival, says Jones & Jones Management told residents the new policy was an effort to make the bill-paying process greener and more environmentally friendly. But Gross believes the only green Jones & Jones is worried about is in their wallets. Gross says the online-only payments would scare off many older residents who tend to have lower rents and make room for new tenants and higher rates. Gross says today's news conference is important.
And today, our statement was that these tenants are united, they have support, and are fighting back.
Patsy Van Dyke, the lawyer for the tenants, says residents just want a choice when it comes to paying their rent. She says only four of Jones & Jones Management's 3,000 tenants are a part of the lawsuit because she wanted to keep it quick and simple. Van Dyke says no money is being sought in the suit, only a change in Jones & Jones Management's policy. Ellen Kaufman is with the LA Group, the firm representing Jones & Jones Management. She says her clients have allowed tenants to keep paying their bills with checks and money orders since the policy change, and she says they will continue to do so for the near future. She says she hopes this misunderstanding can be sorted out soon. Logan Healy, Annenberg Radio News.
On March 13th, the LA School Board will vote on cuts that would eliminate the district's adult education, preschool, and most elementary arts programs. Jessica Kauslau visited Florence Griffith Joyner Elementary in South LA and reports back about the importance of arts education.
Shanna Habel is the dance demonstration teacher for the LAUSD Arts Education Branch. She's been with the program since its inception in 1999.
What I've seen is the way that being involved in the arts can truly change the way a child thinks about themselves, the way they think about their life, and the way they think about their future.
Habel supervises 40 teachers, including Daniel Evers, a dance teacher at Florence Griffith Joyner Elementary in South Los Angeles. Evers has been teaching dance for 8 years.
The important thing about dance education is that students have the freedom to be creative, to think out of the box, to be problem solvers, to create something that expresses how they feel.
We could use our imagination to taste something. So right now, let's use our imagination, can we? I want you to taste what flavor that is.
Strawberry.
Wendy is a student at Florence Griffith Joyner. She's 10 years old, and her favorite subject is dance.
I mostly like the moves, mostly Miss Evers. She's a really great dance teacher, and I really admire her so much, and I hope I could dance good as her.
Her classmate Jabari is also a fan of dance class.
I like dance because I get to learn a lot of new moves. And at first, I didn't think of myself as a dancer, but now I know I got the potential to be a dancer.
Both Habel and Evers have seen firsthand how students who lacked confidence or did not excel in other academic areas thrived in the arts. Critical Evidence is a report commissioned by the Arts Education Partnership and the National Assembly of State Agencies in 2005. It cited that arts activities promote promote growth in students' social skills, including self-confidence, self-control, conflict resolution, collaboration, empathy, and social tolerance. In the end, says Habel, it's not about whether the student becomes an artist.
But it's about giving them a different way of looking at things, giving them new strategies to see the world with. A new pair of eyes.
Arts advocates can only hope the Los Angeles School Board does not vote blindly on March 13th. Jessica Coslow, Annenberg Radio News.
We'll have a full moon tonight and cool temperatures in the 40s. Tomorrow will be a bright Southern California day with highs in the mid-60s. And it will get much warmer in the coming days, with a high of 72 on Thursday and 80 on Friday. Later on Annenberg Radio News, Google's new privacy settings signal it's stepping up its competition with Facebook. Find out why. The Homeboy Bakery is a company started by Father Greg Boyle to get kids off the streets and into jobs. Homeboy employees set up shop at the Jefferson and Hoover Farmers Market every week. Reporter Heather Ritchie paid a visit to the market and introduces us to Homeboy Bakery in this sound portrait.
It's like a sourdough consistency.
Yeah. Father G, we call him Father Boyle. G. His name is Gregory Boyle. We call him Father G. We're Big G Dog or something, you know what I'm saying? Gave him a homeboy name, you know?
I was selling dope with a gun in my hand, running from the cops, and Father Gregory was like, my son, what are you doing? I can't talk to you, Father Gregory, right now. The cops are chasing me. Can't you see? So I'm burning. I'm only like 14 years old, you know? And Father G's like, my son, what are you doing? I'll talk to you later, G. And then I'll see him the next day. What's going on? Well, they were chasing me. Why? Well, you know, I had a gun and I was signed up. And he didn't judge me one time. He's like, my son, I might help you out.
Just a cookie and a one loaf. Okay, how much is it?
So it's about 7 and 2.
Thanks.
Yeah, I got involved with a couple of gangs. Ended up going to prison, doing 10 years and 5 months inside a federal prison for a bank robbery. And this is my second chance.
Pumpkin pecan sweet bread, double cinnamon sweet bread, cinnamon raisin sweet bread, chocolate bread sweet bread.
It smells delicious and I couldn't stop myself.
It's a whole different look. Wind blowing it away, you know? Giving back, because I know at one time, like I said, I was a little kid, I didn't know better and I was selling drugs and running over the gun and being shot a few times and, you know, it's chaos. So I got to give back to the community for the mistakes I've done as a teenager, you know?
Recent data shows that black students in Los Angeles Unified District are suspended at a higher rate than in other large school districts. Aaron Schrenk has the story.
Black students make up only 9% of LAUSD, yet they account for 26% of its suspensions, according to data released by the U.S. Department for Education. The study found that around the country, African American students are 3 times as likely to be suspended than their white peers. Some believe this is contributing to a bigger problem in the school systems, in the way they support students. Rob McGowan is the lead organizer for Cadre LA, an educational equality advocacy group.
The better we as a society, the better we as a school system can really look at how we support our kids and look at them as human beings and not potential criminals, then the better our society and our students will be and more successful they'll be.
LAUSD Superintendent John Dacey has encouraged principals to use discretion when suspending students for defiance, the lead cause of suspension in the district. McGowan applauds Dacey's response but says it should be coupled with better training and resources for administrators and teachers about how to avoid suspensions. Aaron Schrenk, Annenberg Radio News.
Google has introduced a new privacy policy that has internet users across America scratching their heads and has raised concern among experts and policymakers. I spoke with Peter Swire, a senior fellow at the Center for American Progress, about the future of internet privacy and what the general public needs to know about the change.
Google's taking 20 separate products and saying all these products will share data with each other. The Federal Trade Commission has emphasized that changes in privacy policies deserve customer choice. In this case, Google is saying that the new policy will apply to everyone. Now the choice is use Google or don't use Google. If you use Google, all the lines of business will have the personal information pulled together.
And is there anything to like about the new policy? Google says that its new policy will mean innovations and it will be able to, quote, tell you when you'll be late for a meeting based on your location, local traffic conditions.
So data provides convenience. Data also helps marketers. The big question for Google and Facebook and the other big online people is, when do you pull all the information together and how do you monetize that? Some people signed up for Gmail and they didn't think that it would be linked to their Google Docs or to their calendar or to their search. Now those things will be linked together as long as you're using your Google products.
Will other companies be going the way of Google? Will they be adopting similar policies?
In many ways, other companies already have. Facebook didn't start with 20 products. They started with all your data being collected together in one place. One reason for Google's change is to compete with Facebook in the social space. Google wants to have insight into your social relationships in much the way that Facebook already does.
Where is it all headed? I mean, right. A lot of people are crying Big Brother, too much info gathering, and they're feeling violated.
Well, the Obama administration announced a major initiative just last week to have a consumer bill of rights for privacy. Europe already has stricter privacy laws than the United States. They're taking additional big steps to make it stricter. For instance, in Europe, they're saying you have to have affirmative consent before they even put a cookie on your browsing. That would really change a lot of the internet models we've seen up till now.
Is this a policy goal of the administration?
The administration is trying to find ways to promote innovation and also give users basic choice over how their data is handled online.
If two companies merge, will the Federal Trade Commission step in and make sure privacy protections are in place?
The FTC already has enforced privacy protections at the time of merger if the merger would violate a privacy promise. For instance, when companies go bankrupt, sometimes they've made promises that their data will not be used in certain ways. The FTC stands there and says, we're going to enforce those privacy promises.
Are you using Google still?
I usually don't sign in when I'm doing my search. Some people love the convenience of getting suggestions for search. On the other hand, I don't keep a long history file. One of the big battles right now is, will there be a do not track approach? Will there be some way that people can say, I don't want to play with this data gathering? That's hard to do on the internet today. You have the choice to say, do not call to your dinner table. The big battle is, what's it going to mean to have do not track when you're on the internet?
That was Peter Swire of the Center for American Progress. Almost 47 years ago, Martin Luther King Jr. led civil rights activists on a march from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama. This month, 12 Los Angeles residents will be marching along the same route, as Evan Budrovich reports.
Tonight at the Good Job LA office in Inglewood, 12 people from the LA community will be honored for their upcoming participation in the annual Selma to Montgomery March in Alabama. These activists are demanding the repeal of a controversial immigration law. They will walk a 53-mile trek following the famous Bloody Sunday March in 1965. Jabri Range is a 19-year-old South LA resident who works for the Good Job LA organization, is embarking on the trip to Alabama. He has a clear message for large corporations.
Once again, for, you know, economy rights, and instead of cutting, without us, you know, there's really nothing, you know, and they're trying to take things from us that we work hard for, and I just basically want to be heard and hold the corporate offices what's going on in the world and what we're tired of.
Jabri and the other 11 individuals will join thousands of civil rights activists who will begin their trek on March 7th. Evan Budrovich, Annenberg Radio News.
Now we check in with Madeline Segura to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News. Madeline?
Yes, thanks, Emily. Tonight on ATVN, Eastern Australia saw heavy flooding today, causing more than 13,000 people to evacuate. We spoke with a USC student studying abroad in the region.
Now back here at USC, the Trojans are back to work on the football field. Today marks the first day of spring practice. And make sure that you tune in tonight for all of the latest results from today's GOP primaries. It certainly was a super Tuesday for us at ATVN for news.
Thank you, Madeline. Milk's Favorite Cookie celebrates its 100th birthday today. That's right, the Oreo cookie sandwich is a century old. And that's it for today. We had help today from Annenberg TV News. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Emily Frost.